Okay, we're on. Okay, again, today's daf is the Refuah Shleima, Tzvi Asher ben Gila. Lamed Ches Amed Beis. So we are deep into the discussion of Birchas Hananin, as this parak is all about, and we've discussed the past Amud, the bracha on cooked vegetables. Does cooking change its status of a Yerek, and therefore does it change its bracha from a Ha'adama to a Shehakol, or does it remain a Yerek and retain the bracha of Ha'adama? So we spoke about soaking your matzah, we spoke about cooking your vegetables, and we spoke about soaking and cooking your maror. So now we're on the last line. So we're in the middle of this discussion of that we just had. If you remember, just to remind you, so we could we had quoted that Rabbi Yochanan must be one of the opinions that says that you say Ha'adama. Because after all, there's a story that he ate an olive. He ate a salted olive, and we compare salting to Bishul, as the halacha in Yeridei is Maliach Kurosayach. And you see that he made two brachas, before and one before, one after. So the Gemara had an Havamina that isn't it true that it must be he made a Ha'etz and an Al Ha'etz. So you see, cooking slash salting retains its status. The answer is no, it could have made a Shahakal and a Burin Afashis. Okay, but now we're just asking on a detail of that story about his eating olives. Asks the Gemara on the bottom. Amalei Rabbi Yirmiyahu or Rabbi Zeira, last line. Amalei Rabbi Zeira, Rabbi Yochanan, Hechi Mevarech Al Zayis Maliach. How could Rabbi Yochanan have eaten a salted olive in the first place and made a bracha before and after? Kivan de Shekila Legarine Batzer Le Shiure. Since, obviously, he didn't eat the pit of the olive, so since you took out the pit, so don't you have less than a shear, the top of Almatasim and olive, Batzer Le Shiure, don't you have less than a shear now for the bracha? In other words, you don't need a shear for the bracha rishona. To make a bracha rishona, we say any shear, and that is we had the gemara earlier on Daf Yadalad, which talks about mat emes ena tuuna bracha. If you taste it, you don't have to make a bracha. But generally, we don't paskin that way. The Rambam paskins that way, but the Shulchan Aruch, you look, even if you're being mat emes, even if you're tasting it, you need a bracha. So generally, we paskin bracha rishona does not need a bracha. Why? Because it's bracha rishona is based on the principle of asur lehenos ba'olam hazeh b'lo bracha. You're not allowed to get any pleasure from the world without a bracha. So it doesn't matter how big the shear is. Even a tiny amount of a pleasure is still being nana from olam hazeh. Therefore, bracha rishona always needs a shear. But bracha achrona needs a shear. The Mishnah Berurah quotes as Ibn Reish Yud that all brachas achronos are patterned after benching. And by benching it says, v'achalta b'savato v'achta. So you need a maisa achila. A maisa achila requires a shear, requires a kizayis. So therefore, if I only have a tiny amount of a food, I'm not going to have to make a bracha risha, a bracha achrona. So therefore, asks the Gemara, if we're just saying Rabbi Yochanan ate an olive, he must have taken out the pit when he ate the olive. So what's left of the olive? There's not a kezias there. That's the definition. The definition of a kezias is a zayas. So if you take out the seed, you don't have a zayas. So how can he make a bracha afterwards? What bracha did he make? Right? You need a shear for a bracha achrona. Right? That's what we paskin. If you let's say you wash and you have less than a kezias of bread, you don't bench. Let's say you have a less kezias of anything. There's a big discussion in the Mishnah Berurah about that, and the other earlier post came about drinking a hot drink, coffee, tea, because you have to drink a certain amount within a certain shear of time in order to make a bracha achrona. So most of the time, if tea is too hot, so you take sip here, a sip here, a sip there, and within half an hour, 35 minutes, you finish your tea. So within half an hour, that's much longer than the amount that's required to make a bracha. So there are those, as the Berurah says, lahotzi midei safek, you should always leave a revius of tea at the end of your cup that is not so hot, and therefore you can drink that all in one shot, and therefore you could be b'chayiv yourself in a bracha, or drink some water before you drink your tea. A friend of mine told me that last week he had a guest from Eretz Yisrael who was very mockpit about these things. So he asked at the end of the Shabbos meal, "Can I please have some tea, but not so hot, because I want to make sure to make a bracha." That was his shayla. I want to make sure not so hot. I want to be able to make the bracha achrona. Okay, but this is an issue. But anyway, he asks the Gemara, if you take out this pit, so then you don't have enough of a shear. So what's Rabbi Yochanan talking about? How does he make a bracha achrona? So Amar Lei. So Rabbi Zeira answered Rabbi Yirmiyah, Mi sabris kizayis gadol beinon. Do you need a huge kizayis to make the bracha? Kizayis beinon beinon. All you need is a medium size. Kizayis, Vahuda Isol, Kam Rabbi Yochanan, Zayis Gadolhu, and the Have. So, and the olive that Rabbi Yochanan ate was a huge olive. And therefore, even though you took the pit out of the olive, still it was a large enough, like a regular zayus benoni, and therefore, that's why he made the bracha achrona. Ditznan, as it says in the Mishnah in Kalim. Mishnah Kalim talks all about the different shiurim that are mentioned throughout Shas. Zayus shamru, whenever it says kizayus, lo katan lo gadol el benoni. It means a benoni, right? We should remember this for a couple of weeks from now, right? We don't have to go nuts with the shiurim. We're talking about a medium sized kizayus. So again, generally we're very machmir when it comes to Hilcha Finyani Pesach, but again, you don't have to go crazy, especially if you're going to be too stuffed to eat afikomen. You got to make sure you know. We form in the Shulchan Aruch Paschal Zechachilu, you should have two kizayisim for the first Achilas Matzah, one for Amotzi, one for Achilas Matzah. But again, keep in mind that Zayis Benoni, we should be machmir. But again, we should be machmir, as I mentioned, every week, right? Every Shabbos, there's a mitzvah to eat a kizayis of bread. But we take a bite, then we go eat our soup. But every Baruch Hashem on Pesach, we're makan for the matzah. We have to be makan every week. Especially this Erev Pesach Chalias B'Shabbos. We got to make sure, because we're only going to have little rolls that we're going to eat the rest of our meal. We have to make sure we have enough of the roll of a kezayis. Got to make sure of that, because that's also a mitzvah. Maybe probably Durabanan, but it's also a mitzvah for Seudah Shabbos. So anyways, the Mishnah Kalim says, you go by a middle-sized olive. V'zeo eguri. And this is the type of olive that they used to call eguri. What's a guri? We'll get to in a minute. Really, they used to call it a vruti. Some say call it samrusi. But anyway, what's pshat? Why is it called a guri? Sheshmeno agur besocho. Its oil is agur. It's gathered inside of it. So that's why it used to be called a guri, because an olive has its oil inside of it. A couple of important notes on the Gemara we just read. First, Rabbeinu Yonah has an amazing pshat to the question of the Gemara. The pashas of the Gemara is that if you don't have a shear, this shouldn't be a bracha achrona. That was the pashas of the question. That's how Tosas learns it beferish. The first line of Tosas, tainu bracha shel achrav, but bracha shel afanav, afilu bachas b'kishir, also lenas b'lam azeh b'lo bracha. Fine. Rashi is not 100% clear, but we have to assume that Rashi means bracha achrona also. The top Rashi, v'gavi birchas peiros ha'aretz achilu k'siva, v'achilu b'kizayis. Doesn't say beferish, but Rashi probably means what Tosfos says, bracha achrona. Rabbeinu Yonah quotes an opinion that says as follows. If you don't have the shear, so then your bracha rishona shouldn't be ha'etz, it should be shahakol. That's Rabbeinu Yonah's opinion. That whenever you eat less than a shear, you have to say shahakol. Unbelievable. What do you mean shahakol? You say adam, you say just because you're having a tiny amount of an apple, you say shahakol. What does that have to do with anything? So it's an amazing chiddush of Rabbeinu Yonah, but I saw quoted from Rav Asher Lishlomo, to say for Rav Asher Bergman from Bnei Brak. So he's quoted as saying that Birchas Hanenin maybe has two aspects. Whatever you make a Birchas Hanenin, one part is obviously what the Gemara says on Lamed Hey, Asher Lanus Malam Azeh Below Bracha, is also to get any Hano without saying a Bracha. Number two is the Birchas Hanenin relates specifically to the type of food that you are eating. It's Hodah on the apple, it's Hodah on the vegetable, etc. It's Hodah on whatever you're eating. So he suggests that maybe shahakol is a qualitatively different type of bracha. It's that brachas hananin only has the first aspect, the matir aspect. Also lahenos below bracha. But relating to the specific food, you don't have that in shahakol. Shahakol niyam advaro. So shahakol doesn't relate to the specific food. So that, it only is the matir. It only allows you to partake. So that's why, that's the havamina. So if you have less than a shear, then that's not identified as an apple. It's not identified as a vegetable. It's identified as food. We have a similar discussion by Yisurim. There's a major Lundus discussion by Rabbi Rav Rosenzweig once said this, that by Chatzi Shir Asur Minat Torah. We know if you eat a half a shir, a half a kazayas of treif, or half a kazayas of some other non-kosher product, we pass an Asur Minat Torah, Rabbi Yochanan, even though you don't get a punishment, but it's still Asur to eat a tiny amount of something treif. So there's a discussion in the Achronim, what does that mean? When I eat a half a kazayas of treif, am I eating treif? Or am I eating chatzi shir klali, as it's called? All chatzi shirs, it's the same, you know, package deal of the aveira of chatzi shir. There are many riases, we're not going to go into it now. It's a tafyomi shir. But the Rabbi Rosenzweig said that maybe you have the parallel discussion by this Rabbi Yonah. Parallel, it's not exactly the same, by a mitzvah achila. Sometimes when you eat, you can halachically state you're eating apples, you're eating vegetables, you're eating mizonos. That's if you eat a kezayis. So then that requires a specific bracha. Masha Enkin, according to this opinion of Rabbeinu Yonah, if you're eating less than the amount, less than what's called a maisa achila, then you're not eating food. You're satiating yourself with something from the world, and therefore you have to say the berachas anenin to be matirit, but you don't relate to it as the specific food. Okay, so that's just an amazing pshat of the question of the Gemara quoted in Rabbeinu Yonah. There are, the top Tosis is also very important. The Tosis has four parts in this Tosis. Number one, part, I'll just say the four parts outside. Number one, Tosis says, only Bracha Achrona requires a Shir, not Bracha Rishona. A. Number two, he quotes a Machlokas whether Bori Nefashos is different. There's an opinion, the Ri says Bori Nefashos doesn't need a Shir. We Paskin it does. We Paskin that even Bori Nefashos requires a Shir. That's a discussion in the Achronim, number two. Number three, and this is a very important discussion, number three says, quotes a Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi says that if you have an entire birya, it's called, an entire object, that even if it's less than a shear, you make a bracha. Achrona. For example, a grape. If you have a whole grape, or a whole, any other type of whole barley, a whole anything, because it's whole, that gives it chashivus, and therefore, even if it's less than a kezayis, you say a bracha achrona. The Bavli is unclear regarding this issue. There's 2 days in Tosfos, whether the Bavli argues or not. The Shulchan Aruch says we should try not to put ourselves into a case of suffix. So therefore, we shouldn't have one grape. Go for another. Right? Go for a couple of grapes, so therefore you're not... So we don't want to go into get into a problem where we had a whole birya, we had a whole object, but it was less than a shear, that would really be a suffix, what we should do about bracha achrona. So we should never eat one grape. Either eat half a grape, or eat 5 grapes. Right, so then we should be sure whether we have to make the bracha achrona or not. That is the third opinion, third issue in Tosfos. This Gemara, the question is, over here, you didn't have the pit. You didn't have the pits, therefore it wasn't in Birya. Right, I'll repeat the question. The question was, people asked me to repeat the questions because they didn't hear. The question was, what about this Gemara? No, this Gemara wasn't a Birya because you didn't have the pit. And the fourth part of the Tosfos, then we'll go on to the next Gemara. The fourth part of the Tosfos talks about what happens if, quotes another Yerushalmi, let's say I'm about to eat something and then all of a sudden it falls out of my hands and falls down the drain. And I lost my raisin. So I have to get up another, I have to get another raisin. So what happens? What do I do? Or I'm about to eat something and then I realize that it's sour. I'm about to take a bite out of a peach and I look at it like, oh. So I throw it out and I take out another peach. So the halach is that we say, Baruch Shem Kavod Malchus Aliyolam Vayad and make a new bracha. This Tosis is the source of that idea. That you say, when you say a bracha and you didn't need it, you say Baruch Shem. It's somewhat unusual, because it might be a bracha levatala. What do you bracha levatala? Look at the words that you said. Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam. Bo'ei Pri Hadama. What a beautiful thing you said. So I didn't eat a vegetable, but it's still a chiddush that's might be called a bracha levatala. So that's why most mefarshim, we had that the last Shabbos, Menachem learned with you the Gemara in Daf Lamed Gimel, which says if you make a bracha levatala, you violate Lo Sisa. So most of you showing him say that's Durabanan. How could you violate Lo Sisa? If you say God's name in vain, okay, that's Lo Sisa. I swear, that's Lo Sisa. If you make a bracha, it's beautiful. The words are beautiful. That's Lo Sisa. So we pass, and most of you showing say it's Durabanan. The Rabbah Moses Daraisa. But we say it's Drabbanan because it's really beautiful words that you said. But we do paskin that if you say a bracha that you're not supposed to say, you say Baruch Shem Kavod Malchus Aliyolam Vayad to be Makadi Shem Shamayim because we just said a bracha that we didn't really have to say. But the source for that whole concept is this fourth part of Tosis. Yeah.
You tell us you die, you wash and then make bracha and you start not to eat something. So the Rebbe says you did not make bracha.
Right, because then the bracha was on the Netilas Yadayim. Right, that bracha wasn't on the motzi. If you said the words hamotzi, then you didn't need the bread. Then it would be a bracha levatala. Okay, let's go weiter. Neima Kitanoi, about the 8th line on top. So Neima Kitanoi. So let's say this whole discussion that we've had for the past day about whether cooking vegetables makes it lose its shem yerek, makes it lose its status of a vegetable or not. Let's say this is a machlokas tanoim. Dehanu shvei talmidei havayasvi kamidei bar kapara. There were 2 students sitting in front of bar kapara. Heviu lafan of kruv v'dermaskin upargios, and they brought in front of them kruv, cabbage. Dermaskion, Rashi says, it's some type of cooked vegetable. I looked in the laws. It's mountain spinach. I don't know exactly what that is. Upargios, is that what the Arsul says? I don't know what that's what the Jastriel said. Upargios. Pargios is some type of meat or chicken dish. Pargios. Basar ofra, she says. So this is what was right in front of them. Cabbage, cooked vegetables, and chicken. Those 3 things. So, Nasan Bar Kapara Rishus L'Echad Mehem L'Varech. So Bar Kapara says, one of them, please, you know, be Mavarech for us. And the Mepharshim point out, it must be that one was making a bracha for everybody. Because, what do you mean, please make a bracha? Everybody dig in! So it must be, no, they're using the concept of Shomea Ka'ona here, even by a bracha Rishona. So, Kafatu Birich ala Pargios. One of them gets up and makes the bracha on the Pargios, on the chicken. What bracha Shahako? Even though he has cooked vegetables sitting there, and even though he has, even though he has cabbage sitting there. So, Ligling Alav Chaveiro, his friend gets up and says, what are you doing? Come on, Shahako? That's what you make first? That's what happened. Then Bar Kappara gets up with the Rebbe, cross Bar Kappara, and Bar Kappara gets up and gets angry. Two versions. Which one did he get angry at? Omar, first version. I'm not worried. I'm not upset about the one who made the wrong bracha. I'm upset at the guy who made fun of him. Find your friend is acting as if he never had a piece of meat in his life. In other words, it's so special to him, so he wants to make that bracha first. What's called chaviv. So you're jumping up at him? He has a good reason. Atom alaglaktalov. What are you getting so upset at him for? So first version, Bar Kappara was upset about the malagleg. Chazar b'yamar, then Bar Kappara changes his mind and says, no, I'm going to get upset about the other guy. Lo ala malagleg anikoes. I'm not upset about the guy who made fun of his friend. Ala mavarech anikoes. I'm upset how the guy made such a bracha. V'yamar im chachma ein kan, zikna ein kan. If he didn't have chachma, meaning if he wasn't sure what bracha to make, zikna, he's not the elder, he should have asked me. You should have asked me what bracha to make first. So therefore, two versions, whether you got upset about the malagleg or at the mavarech. What does this have to do with us? We'll say in a minute. Tana, the Gemara just ends off an addendum, v'shneim lo hotziu shnasan. Neither of them finished off the year. Pretty scary. So my lab, but anyway, the Gemara says, what was the machlokas between these two students? Between the mavarech and the malagleg? The mavarech made shahakal on the chicken first, even though he had cooked vegetables there. And the other one said, what are you doing? So he obviously was upset. So what was this machlokas about? So my lover, Mahaka Mifuki, maybe it's our machlokas. The Bavarich Savar, the one who made the bracha shahako on the chicken first, Savar Shlokos of Pargia Shachoni of Varo. He must have held that even the cooked vegetables were shahako, and therefore you have two shahakos in front of you, two shahakos in front of you, so if they're both equal brachos, Hilka Chaviv Adif. Therefore the one that you want to eat more should be the one that you make the bracha on. So you have cooked vegetables, you have a piece of chicken, so then that's why he eats the chicken first, because he holds that cooked vegetables loses its status of a vegetable, and therefore you say shahako. Umalag like Savar, maybe the other one was held, no. Shlokos bori pri adama pargiya shakal nebidvaro. The other one held, no, cooked vegetables are still called vegetables. And therefore, it's hadama. And when you have a question, what to make first, hadama or shahako, we know. Hilkoch pera adif. We know that you're supposed to make the specific, the more specific bracha is always supposed to come first. So the Gemara answers, lo, no, it's not, this isn't a machlokas tanoim. It's possible that the kuli yama shlokos vargiya shakoni bivaro. It's possible that everybody would hold that cooked vegetables are shahako. V'hacha b'hai svarka mifugi, the machlokas is about the foul, meaning everybody holds you have shahakos in front of you. But still the machlokas is, mar savar chaviv adif. One holds that if you have equal brachos in front of you, you still, which one goes first? The food that you want to eat first. Umar Savar, Kruv Adif Dezayin. It says, no, cabbage comes first because it's more satiating. So that could be the machlokas. Tosus here points out, Halacha Lamaisa, and Tosus, Yimasul Chaviv, Tosus says, Halacha Lamaisa. If you have many different foods in front of you that are all the same bracha, you should make the bracha on the one you want to eat first. That's chavivus to the bracha. You'll get as much, a better, more geschmack out of eating it, so it's more chaviv to the bracha. If there are different brachas, then we always go in descending order. First mizonos, then the more specific ha'etz, then hadama, then shahakol. We'll get to the Zion minim in a couple of blot. If one of them is one of the sheva minim that Eretz Yisrael is blessed with, so those might come first. But in general, if they're equal, you go by chaviv. If they're not equal, you go by the more specific. Well, no, maybe the Bar Kappara got upset at them. It's a good question. But at least they were Tanaim. They were Tanaim. Bar Kappara argued on them, and the Gemara is explaining what they thought. Obviously, the other person argued. I don't know if they were both wrong. Bar Kappara didn't get upset at both of them at once. You know, if he got upset at the Malagleg, so then obviously the Mavarich, they both did the two options. So one of them has to be right. I mean, there's not a third option. Bar Kappara got upset at each of them at different times. He was upset, maybe, why didn't he ask me? But that's, they have some, based on some emes. Okay. Amar Reb Zeira, right in the middle. Kevina Be Rav Huna, when I was by Rav Huna, Amar Lanhani, Gargalide de Lifta, these turnip heads, Parminu Prima Rabba, if you cut them up with very big pieces, Bari Pri Adama, right? Because then it retains its vegetable status. It's still recognizable. Prima Zuta, Shachani Bivara, but if you dice them up, tiny, tiny, so then you'd make a Shahakol. V'chi, Asan, Be Rav Yehuda, Amar Lan, but when I came to Rav Yehuda, he told me, Idi V'idi Bari Pri Adama, even if you slice them up very tiny, you still make a Bari Pri Adama. It tastes good. Tastes very nicely if you cut them up and you get all those juices that were inside the vegetable. So therefore, even if you cut up a vegetable very tiny, in a tiny way, so then you still make a Bari Pri Adama. Amar Rav Ashi, Ki Abina Bi Rav Kahana, Amar Lan, when Rav Kahana told me, Tavshila de Silka, let's say you have this beet tavshil. I don't know, something like borscht. The lo mafshiba kimcha bari priyadama. The lifta, the mafshiba kimcha tvei bari mene mizonos. If it has a lot of kemach, flour in it, you're going to make a mizonos. If it doesn't have a lot of flour, you're going to make a adama. That's what Rav Kahana said at first. But then some of you might be bothered. What do you mean? A couple days ago we had, what? Anything that has any type of mizonos inside, unless it's there just for texture, you're going to make a mizonos. What's this habamina? That's what the Gemara says. V'hada amar, idividi ber priyadama. No, really, they would both. Even with a lot of flour, you can make hadama. Why? V'hai deshadi bakimcha. What was the whole point of putting the flour into these? Tvei l'divuke ba'alma avdila. You're just putting it in to hold the other ingredients together. So that's why this was the licorice shiloh that we spoke about a couple days ago. If you're just putting it in to hold the other ingredients together, then it would be hadama. Amar of chizda. Tavshil shel tardin, yafe lalei, v'tov leinayi, v'koshalim lebnei ba'ayim. Right, a cooked beets dish is good for the heart, good for the eyes, and good for the intestines. Okay, Amar Abaya, v'hudu yasev apetafi v'avit tuchtuch. As long as it sits on the fire for a while, and it gets so hot and boiling that it makes the sound. This is onomatopoeia in the Gemara. Tuch 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 tuch, and it makes that sound as it's boiling. So Gemara has everything. Okay, Amar Apapa. Pshitali, so Rav Papa says, it's obvious to me, maya de silka kisilka. If you have beet water, let's say you soak water in beets, you make beet soup, you're going to make kisilka, it's like beets, and therefore you're going to make ha'adama on beet soup. Umaya de lifta kalifta. And turnip soup, you're going to make a ha'adama. Umaya de kulu shalki kakulu shalki. And water of all cooked items, meaning soups, you're always going to make that bracha of bori pri hadama. So all the Rishonim ask, how do you put this together? I think I referred to this yesterday with a daf ago when we said all liquids are shahakol. Yesterday we said all liquids, dvash, etc. are shahakol. Now the Gemara is saying any type of vegetable soup, even without the pieces in it. It just says beet soup, any of this, you're going to make hadama. So Tosas already says, yesh l'chalek. Thank you very much. Tosas says, there must be a distinction. That's all Tosas says. He doesn't help us out. The last two words of Tosas Maya. So the other Rishonim, they'll help us out a little bit. The Rosh says that maybe because vegetables really give off their taste in the soup. Really tastes like the vegetable. When you have tomato soup, it really tastes like the tomatoes. If you have some other, the juice from the fruits, maybe it doesn't taste as much, doesn't identify as much with the fruit. It really tastes different. Apples and apple juice, maybe the Rosh would say tastes different. That's what the Rosh suggests. There's the Mordechai gives another answer. The Rashba, though, gives an answer which we mentioned yesterday. And that was, the Rashba says, because vegetables, most of the time, you make the vegetables to make soup. You don't eat the vegetables raw. Therefore, that's the ultimate stage, and therefore you're going to make Ha'adama. Fruits! Most people, you make fruit to produce fruit, to eat the fruit. So that's why you're going to make Ha'etz on the fruit. That's why some Achronim say, hey, if that's true, what if you make a fruit with intention to use it for the juice? The Tropicana orange juice question. So that's what we said. According to the Rashba, you'd make a ha'etz on Tropicana oranges, orange juice, because they make these groves, dafka, for the juice. We generally pass them like the Rosh and the other Rishonim, the Mishnah Berurah says, that give the other answers to the stira between soup and juice. And therefore, even on orange juice, we would make a shahako, like grove of the posk. But that is a discussion here on this daf. How do you put this Gemara together with the previous Gemara? Yeah. You probably make
two brachas.
Probably two brachas. Make a bracha on the vegetables and make a bracha on the soup.
So you should take some vegetables with the soup, take
vegetables without so much soup. You're not worrying about borer issues on Shabbos, right? So you're taking good from the bad because you want the vegetables. Boy Rav Papa. But Rav Papa says, okay, the previous discussion was pasha to me, but my the shifts of mine. What about if you're making a soup, but you're just flavoring it with shifsa? Shifsa, Rashi says, is Yerak Shosa Matpek, there where you put a little bit for taste. That's a dill. That anit meant dill. You put a little dill into soup to flavor it. So what bracha do you make on that soup? Limtuke taimavidi, are you mamish putting it in to give taste and therefore you should say hadama? Ola avuri zuama avdile, or are you just trying to give it a good smell? Like to take away like a bad smelling, the bad smell of the water. So tashma, hasheves, the Mishnah says in uksin, hasheves, bichinasatamba kadeira, inba mishim truma, veinamatamatumas ochlim. The Mishnah says that how long does dill, let's say you have truma dill, how long does dill retain its status of truma? So the Mishnah says, once you put it in a soup and it loses its taste, because it imparts its taste to the soup, so then it no longer is called food. It's called like a branch, and therefore it doesn't have Kedusha's Shroom anymore, it's not Metame as food anymore, so therefore what do you see? So you see from there that the purpose of dill in this liquid is to give it taste, so therefore you would make a dhamma on that, just like other vegetable soups. I saw one of the achronim in one of the sfarim quoted, so what about tea? You put tea leaves into dafka to give it taste. Never seen anybody who makes a hadama on tea, right? Tea leaves, no, but isn't that like sheves? And the Gemara says if you're putting it in lataima, then you'd make a bracha as on the dill. So you have to give some kind of answer. Some people eat dill raw as a vegetable. Nobody eats tea leaves. So I never saw anybody who said that, but I saw one of the achronim that bring up that question at least. Because the Gemara seems to say if you put something in latam, you'd make that original bracha. But again, tea must be different. Okay, four lines from the bottom. Amar of Chiyah Barashi. Pas senuma bika'ara, mivarkin aleha hamotzi. Pas senuma, Rashi explains, is very dry bread. Like stale bread, and you want to give it a little flavor or edibility. So therefore, you're going to soak it. So you might think it's more disgusting, but I guess it becomes more edible if you have stale, dry bread that you then soak. Mivarkin aleha hamotzi. What do you mean you make hamotzi? What's the issue here? So then the other Rishonim, you have to do with Rashi, the Tosas on the bottom explains that it falls apart a little bit when you're soaking it, and you have a small roll with you also. So you have a large half a piece of challah and a small roll of challah. Which do you say hamotzi on? That's the hidden discussion that's going on here. So says Rav Chiya Bar Ashi, pas senuma bika'ara, mevarchen aleha hamotzi. You can make hamotzi on this half a piece of large bread. You don't have to make a bracha on the whole roll. Upliga de Rabbi Chiya, and this, says the Gemara, argues on Rabbi Chiya, Tamar Rabbi Chiya, because Rabbi Chiya holds, tzorach shetichle bracha ima pas. Rabbi Chiya says that you have to cut your challah as you're finishing the bracha of hamotzi. And therefore, says Reb Chiya wouldn't hold that you make the bracha on the half a piece. You have to finish the bracha as you cut. So obviously you have to start making the bracha on the whole one. One second, let's just finish for a minute. So Baskevla Rabba says, what do you mean it's against Reb Chiya? Maishnot Tsnuma Reb Chiya, why would you say that you shouldn't use this half a piece of Tsnuma bread, the low, that you shouldn't use Mishim Dachi Kalia Bracha Aprusika Kalia? Because by the time you finish the bracha, it's only half. But ala pasnami, what do you mean? You hold also on bread too. Kikab gamra, aprusa gamra. But you yourself hold that by the time you finish the bracha, the bread's going to be cut anyway. So what's the difference? What's the difference whether it's cut before you start or whether you cut in the middle of the bracha? Lamaisa, when you finish the bracha, they're both cut. So ela amar Rava, and then I'll just take your question in a minute. Rava says, no, I argue on both of you. Mivarech viachar kach botzeya. What you're supposed to do is make the bracha and finish the bracha and then cut your challah.
Good
kasha. How could you do that? So maybe ripping it. Maybe ripping it with your hands. Meaning, hamotzi lechem, and then you're still holding it with your 10 fingers, I would guess. So Nahardoy Abdi Kerab Chiyab Rabban Abdi Kerava. So different places did like different rabbis. Let's finish up and then we'll talk about it a little bit. Amr Avina, Amrli Aim, Avuch. My mother told me, Avuch Avid Kerab Chiyah, your father did like Rab Chiyah, to Amr Rab Chiyah, Tzorach Shetich LaBracha Mapas, that you have to finish cutting as you finish the bracha. Rabbanan Abdi Kerava, the Hilchasa Kerava, and we hold like Rava, Dharma Barach Vachach Botzeya. That's what we hold, that generally there's a chashivus, as we're going to talk about in the next few lines, to make a bracha on a whole, on a shalem, and therefore you make the bracha on the whole, and then you cut. Look at Tosvos. Tosvos, the top Tosvos says, you're not supposed to rip any piece off until after the bracha. Says Tosis, there are those that don't start any cutting before the bracha, because they want to make the bracha on the whole. But Tosis says, ve'ein haminag lasos kein, to have a kehesach hadas bein a bracha l'achila. But it's not proper, says Tosfos, to do that, because then you can have a big hefsek between the bracha and the eating. So therefore, Tosfos seems to say that you do cut it, but you hold it all together as if it's whole when you make the bracha. So then, right after you make the bracha, then it'll be separated, and therefore, you'll be able to eat it right away. Umiyu says Tosfos, of course, b'Shabbos you can't do that. Nochon lahachemir levarach kodem sheyachtoch. But on Shabbos you need lachemishna. So therefore, better says Tosfos to be machmir and to wait. Machmir in one sense, make them in another sense, to be machmir, and not to cut it before you make the bracha. So therefore, lemaisa, on a weekday, it seems that we should, if we're using challah on a weekday, it should be cut kind of before we make the bracha, because there's no reason, you don't need lechem mishnah, you need shalem. So shalem can even be if you hold it all together, and if right afterwards you'd be able to break it apart and eat it. But on Shabbos, says Tosfos, you don't have a choice, you need lechem mishnah, therefore you can't cut the challah before you make the bracha. You'll have to have a little hefsek. You'll have to have the bracha and then the cutting. Says the Mishnah Berurah, though, one line, the Mishnah Berurah in Hilchos Shabbos, we did this 3 years ago, quotes the Medaktikim. The Medaktikim mark the challah before the bracha, so at least it's a symbolic start to the cutting before you make the bracha. So then after the bracha, when you're really going to cut the challah, it's as if you're continuing. It's as if you started before your bracha, so it's not as much of a hefsek. But that's what the Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Medaktikin. Folks can point out, you have to be careful, because sometimes we spend 10 minutes looking for the mark. Where's the mark that's more of a hefsek? You know, so you have to make the mark, and then right away cut basically where the mark was. It's all symbolic anyway. So that is what the Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Medaktikin in Hilchos Shabbos. That Lamaisa, that you should cut, then put down the knife, mark it, put down the knife, hold the challah with our 10 fingers for the 4 reasons we saw yesterday, say Hamotzi, and then cut the challah the rest of the way. That's what we should do on Shabbos. Yeah. Right. We're going to get to that in a minute, but in general, yes, a shalom is always better. It's more chashivas to the bracha. Yeah.
I realize the answer, but it seems very troubling to me that you would say that soup, which has none of the metzias, the water of the item that you cooked in it, you would make a hadama on, but juice, which actually has the...
No pulp.
Even without pulp, but it's mamish juice. It's not the taste. It's mamish what was in the ground. That you'd make a shahako on.
But it's still, when it was in the ground, it was called fruit. Now it's in a different form. So you don't just go by where it was and that it was there. We say it wasn't there. We don't say it was...
But the stuff in the soup also was called vegetables, and now it's called soup.
Right, I'm saying, but the Rush says there's more taste there, because brachas doesn't only go by what was there. Also, first of all, when it's in the orange, we don't assume it's called juice yet. That's why there's an Issa Daraisa to squeeze out, or Durabanan by some fruits to squeeze out on Shabbos, because it goes from Ochel to Mashke. You're creating something. So even though we know in reality the juice is
actually the stuff that you would make the hadamah.
Okay, so that's why you have to say one of the answers that the Rishonim gave.
For the Tropic Canada juice, would anybody suggest maybe you should say ha'etz and then say Baruch Shem Kavod just in case you said the wrong bracha?
No, in general, when you have a suffix like that in Hilchos Brachas, we always go with Shehakol. You know, Shehakol is always the one that we say. No, the bracha hakoleles, and therefore that itself, we should suffix. We should say that. But here, Rova Poskim say you should say shahakol, because we don't pass on like that Rashba. We have other chilukim between the days. We said yesterday, Bekiva Eger says you make ha'etz on that. Bekiva Eger says if you just suck out the juice from the let's say you have a wedge. Let's say you're just eating a wedge, you go, right? So then you'd make ha'etz on that, because that it never had the status of juice. It's fruit, and then it's going straight into your mouth. That never is bibitzias the status of juice.
So if you eat from the wedge the juice, and then you have a cup of juice right afterwards.
You have to make a
shahakol. You make a
shahakol also. Exactly. Well, similar. What do you mean? Let's say you have a bowl of cereal. I bet you a couple of days you have a bowl of cereal, you make a mizonos. But let's say I have a cup of milk with my cereal. Then I have to make a shahakol on the milk. Even though the milk in the bowl, I don't have to make a shahakol. You could eat the same thing, but Hilchos Brachos, you have to take every action that you do, you have to take separately. According to Tosfos, it sounds like on a shalem that you have cut already. Two dots. Itmar. Hey, viu lefnei hafetzitza v'shleimim. So now we're going to talk a little bit more about holes and halves. And the Bezhem, we're going to get back to that Bezhem on Sunday when we talk a little bit more about it. But now Rav Huna says, if you have in front of you half pieces and whole pieces, Amar Rav Huna, and let's assume the half pieces are larger than the holes, as we said. So Rav Huna says, Mevarech ala patitin b'rotos v'shleimim. Rav Huna says, you can make a bracha on the pieces, because they're larger. So Rav Huna holds you can make pieces on the larger. Rav Yochanan Amar, no. Shleima mitzvah mena mufchar. No, a shalim is always better. So make a bracha on the shalim. Aval prusa shal chitin, aval shleima shal saorin. But Rav Yochanan does admit that if you have a half of a wheat bread and a shalim of barley bread, so then divrei akol mavarech ala prusa shal chitin upoder asa shleima shal saorin. Because chitin is qualitatively better bread than saorin, so then if you have a half a loaf of wheat bread and a whole loaf of barley bread, still says Rabbi Yochanan, you make a bracha on the half of wheat bread because that's more chashev. Is it the order what in the pasuk chita saora? I'm not sure. I was thinking quality, but could be. I don't know. I have to see what the mefarshim say. Tosfos says adife mishum dakni mikra. Okay, nice combination. But it's maybe it sounds like what you're saying, right? Tosfos in Avol. Okay, Amar Rabbi Yerubah Abba Kitanoi. Maybe this is a machlokas tanoim when you have, because if you look from the following case, Josh, we're not comparing anything in Shivas Minim. That's why I assumed that it was better quality. Maybe it's a machlokas tanoim. The Mishnah says in Trumos, Tarmin, Batzel Katan Shalem, Avolo Chasi Batzel Gadol. Let's say you have to give Truma to a Kohen from your onion grove or patch. Onion patch, whatever it's called. So let's say you have a whole small onion and a half of a large onion. What should you give as Truma? So the Tanakhama says, give the small whole onion. Rabbi Yehuda omer lo ki alachati basal gadol. No, Rabbi Yehuda says, no, give half the big one. So my lab hakamifliki, isn't this our machlokas? The marsav chashav adif. Well, the opinion, Rabbi Yehuda says, you give the half a big one, because he says chashav adif. And big onions are more chashav, and therefore, even though you only have half, so give that one to the Kohen. And therefore, for Hilchas Brachas, you'd say the same thing. Umar Savar Shalem Adif. The other opinion says, no, maybe the Shalem, a whole, is more chashiv, and therefore is more important in terms of Truma and in terms of Brachas. Therefore, give the whole one. So Gemara says, no, that's not the Machlokas. Don't compare the Machlokas. Heicha da ikal Kohen. Kolam alo plikat the chashiv Adif. If there's a Kohen in town, then everybody agrees you should give the chashiv one, the half of a large onion. Ki pligi deleka Kohen. The Machlokas is when there is no Kohen in town right now. So therefore, what you're going to put away for him might spoil. Do you have to take that into consideration? Ditznan, as the Mishnah says, Komakam Sheisham Kohen Tormina Yafe. The Tanakhama says, wherever there's a Kohen, you always give from the best of your produce. V'chomakam Shein Kohen Torminha Miskayim. But if there's no Kohen in town, you're going to have to save it for him, then obviously what he would want is the thing that keeps the best, not the thing that tastes the best right now. He doesn't care about that. He's not here. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, no, I don't care. Ein Torm Elamina Yafe. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, you always take the best. Part of this issue is a discussion, meaning, so you see, the machlokas is about a truma machlokas, it's not about hilchos brachos, chashav versus shalim. Therefore, that machlokas has nothing to do with us. This issue, though, is very important for a halacha that hopefully we'll get to talk about in the future. The mitzvah of giving truma, is it more focused on the nosein that I have to give, or is it more focused on the makabel that the kohen has to get? So this might be about that. How much do I have to worry that it's going to spoil? Do I have to give the best, or do I have to give what keeps the best? Is the focus me, or is the focus the Kohen? That's a big issue. The Nesina, the Hafrasha, and the Nesina. Big discussion in the Achron. Okay, last, the end of the third wide line. A Yari Shemaim, she's trying to be Yotzei both opinions. What's both? Rashi says both are Rav Huna and Rav Yochanan. Umanu Marbrei D'Ravina, and Marbrei D'Ravina was a Yari Shemaim. What did he do? Whenever he had a hole and a half, he took both of them in his hands and made one nice bracha on both of them. So therefore, he was Yotzei everybody. Tani Kamtana Kamedra Nachman Bar Yitzchak, when he had Frusa Petocha Shleimu Ubotseyo Mavarech. Again, he too took the hole in the half, put it all together, and made the bracha. Amalei Mashimchas. When he did this, somebody said, "What's your name?" Amalei Shalman. My name is Shalman. I guess that's my nickname. Amalei Shalomata. Right, you're peaceful. The Shlama Mishnah Secha, and your Mishnah, your learning is Shalom. Shasamta Shalom Bein Atalmidim. Right, you try to do both opinions, and therefore your name is fitting for you. Amarev Papa. Did he? Which one did he eat? I guess maybe he ate a piece of both. I'm not sure, but he at least ate a piece of the prusa. Amar Rav Papa, Hakol Modim bePesach sheminiach prusa tavadocha shleima ubotzeya. Everybody agrees, but on Pesach, what do you have on Pesach? After we do yachatz, right? We have a broken matzah there. So says Rav Papa, everybody agrees on Pesach that you put them together and you botzeya, and then you make the brachos on that. My time alechem onikziv. That's the poor man's bread, the broken matzah. And therefore, you should have them in your hands when you make the bracha. Major discussion in Tosfos here and in the other Rishonim, where it's not so clear. Which bracha are we talking about? How long are you supposed to hold it? Right? Do you hold it by Hamotzi and then drop it by Achilas Matzah? Everybody has different minhagim what to do. But I maybe we'll talk about that on Pesach. Exactly how to figure out which matzahs to hold and which ones to drop at which point in time when you make the brachas. It also, the Pashas of this Gemara sounds like you only have two matzahs. It says Prusa and Shlema. It sounds like you have two matzahs. That's the Rambam Shita, that's the Gra Shita, that's the Shulchan Aruch Shita. They only use two matzahs on Pesach. So one of them is a broken one. What can you do? That's Lecha Mishnah for Pesach. We generally, the Rama Paskins, that know, like the Bali Tosfos, that we have three matzahs. One of them we break, so we still have Lecha Mishnah, right? The top and the bottom. That's why we have the third matzah, to have Lecha Mishnah. The Rambam and the Gra and others, the ones that pass like the Shulchan Aruch, they only have two matzahs. One of them happens to be broken, but that's the Lecha Mishnah of Pesach. Okay, but the Pashas. Right. Sfarim who pass like that Shulchan Aruch. Okay, that's the Pashas of this Gemara. Amar Rabbi Abba. Okay, a Gemara that we've done a couple of years ago. Amar Rabbi Abba. Ubishabbos chayav adam lifsoa. Once we're talking about breads and what you make hamotzi on Shabbos you make a bracha. You're chayav adam lifsoa. You have to be botzea. Literally, botzea means to cut al shteki karos on two loaves. The Meiri says yantif too. We pass in Yontif, you also have Lecha Mishnah. Machlokas, 2 days in Tosfos, the beginning of Beitza, whether the mun fell on Erev Yontif also in the Midbar. That's the issue, whether you have to have Lecha Mishnah on Yontif or not. We're generally Machmer. We say you have to have Lecha Mishnah on Yontif too. So my time, Lecha Mishnah Ksiv. That's why you have to have two breads on Shabbos. Amar Rav Ashi, Chazina Leila Rav Kahana, Denokatarti Yubatzachada. Rav Ashi says, no, I didn't see my sort of Kahana not cut two challahs. I saw him hold two and cut one. Nakatarti batzachada. He used to cut, hold two and cut one. Reb Zera havi batza akula sheirusa. There's the line. What does that mean? He was batza akula sheirusa. Rashi says it means he used to cut a big piece for the meal, right? To show lekavid the suud of Shabbos. Shulchan Aruch says that they should cut big pieces of challah lekavid Shabbos. That's what Reb Zera means batza akula sheirusa. Let's finish first. Amalei Ravina leRavashi v'alkam mischazi karavs tanusa. Cut a big piece. You look like you're starving. You look like you're a ravon. Amarlay, no, keep it to call Yom Aloka Avid Hachi. Because you don't do this during the week. You're only doing it today. So everybody knows you're not a Ravan. You're just doing it Lokavid the Mitzvah. That's how Rashi reads the Gemara. The Rashba doesn't like how Rashi reads the Gemara. The Rashba says, what does that have to do with anything we were talking about? We have one opinion that says you have to cut two challahs. The next opinion says you have to cut, hold two and cut one. And there it says cut a big piece. What does that have to do with anything? And he has other questions as well. What if you cut a big piece, you appear like a Rav Tanusa? Just because you've got a pig piece of challah, they're going to think you're like a pig? What does that have to do with anything? So the Rashba says, no, batza akula sheirusa means you cut all the challahs. You cut both challahs, meaning just like the first opinion. That's what the Rashba says, the line means, that at every Shabbos meal, you should cut both challahs. What do we paskin? The Shulchan Aruch paskin is like Rashi, that you should hold both challahs and cut one of them. And there's even a Sefer Hashlama, one of the less known Rishonim, who says maybe that's a nice idea to hold to a cut one. Because that's exactly what happened by the Mun. On Friday night, we had both portions, and we held one of them for tomorrow. So maybe that's a nice Zecher to the Mun. That's what the Shulchan Aruch said. The Mishnah Berurah quotes the Shlach HaKadosh and the Marshal that say that maybe L'chadchila we should be Machmer for this Rashba. Therefore, cut both your challahs at every meal. Then the Mishnah Berurah says, your wife's going to kill you. You're going to waste two challahs every meal. He doesn't say that Lashon. But he said, you're going to waste two challahs. So the Mishnah Berurah says, Eitzah Tovah, have one big challah and one small challah at every meal. So you're going to cut the big challah and cut the pita. I'm sure you might have seen some people do this, who cut, or machmir, to cut both challahs. They're being machmir for this Rashba. Right? Quoted the Shlach HaKadosh and the Marshal say we should be machmir for this Shlach. We'll end with the Vilna Gaon, which we mentioned a couple of years ago, that had a discussion about this issue. The Vilna Gaon, and then we'll read the last two lines, the Vilna Gaon says that there's never a stira between Nigla and Nistar. There's never a stira between Zohar and Gemara. If you think there's a stira, you're either misinterpreting the Gemara or misinterpreting the Zohar. There's only one exception, says the Gra. The Chaim Volozhin quotes this. I asked Rabbi, he says there's only one exception. How are you supposed to have your beds? North, south, or east, west? Okay, that's the only stira. But everything else, there's no stira. So the Vilna Gaon was asked, it says you have to have Lecha Mishnah on Shabbos. But there's a Zohar that says you should have Yud Beis Chatichos. 12 challahs or 2 challahs? How many are you supposed to have? So they stira. So the Vilna Gaon says, it's not a stira. The Vilna Gaon says, really what the Zohar says is Yud Beis Ches with a smidgen. That's what it said in the Zohar. Yud Beis Ches. So what is Ches? So the Vilna Gaon says it's chatichos, pieces. not chalos. Yud Beis pieces. Where do you get Yud Beis pieces from? Says the Gra. If you pass them like the Rashba, and you cut both chalos at every meal, you end up with 12 pieces. Because every meal has two chalos, 4 pieces, and altogether it's 12 pieces. So that's the Zohar. The Zohar is explaining the Bavli according to the Rashba. So therefore there's no steer between the Nigla and the Nister. That's the Vilna Gaon. You cut both chalos, you're holding like the Rashba, you be Mekayim the Nigla, you become Mekayim the Nister. That's the Vilna Gaon. Oh. Three lines from the bottom, let's just finish up. So Rashi, Rashi doesn't have to hold like the Zohar. Rav Ami v'Rav Asi, three lines from the bottom. Let's finish up. Kavi Misrami lehu rifta de ruva, when they used to have the bread of their eruv chatzeros. Rashi says, then used to make hamotzi. Amri, they used to say, ho, this avid be mitzvah chad, and avid be mitzvah chrisa. They used to say, once you use something for a mitzvah, you might as well use it for another mitzvah. And you look in Rav Yosef Engel, on this Gemara, he brings a couple of examples where we have this idea. Once something is used for a mitzvah, then you might as well use it for another mitzvah. And let me just find it, and then this will finish. He says, here, right, he says, he quotes the Mari Vile, the minog of burning your lulav at the chametz. Once you did one mitzvah, so you use it for another mitzvah. We have them up there. He even quotes that some are makbid to use it when they bake their matzahs. They put the lulavim in the oven to bake the matzahs with. That's one. The Shulchan Aruch in the beginning of Aruch Chaim also quotes, if your tzitzit string ever rip, it's a nice idea to use them for bookmarks in your svarim. Why? Hold is this gemara line. Once you use it for one mitzvah, you might as well use it for another mitzvah. Then he quotes an opinion that says maybe the Ksuba should be the Eide Kiddushin and the Eide Yichud, because once they started, they did one mitzvah, you know, you might as well use him for another mitzvah. He's not sure about that. He says it's hard to be Madama, a person. I did a mitzvah, I should do mitzvahs all my life. But at least the first two cases, we always try to say, once you do a mitzvah with one thing, you do it for another thing as well. Okay? We'll stop. Amen. Amen. Amen.